Welcome to Global Investment Voice, where we explore investment migration issues and opportunities from around the world. With a special focus on the U.S. EB-5 Immigrant Investor Program, we'll also cover citizenship and residency by investment programs from around the globe. If you're an investor, fund manager, developer, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of these global investment migration programs, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host attorneys, Mona Shaw and Rebecca Singh, as well as other investment migration leaders from around the world. So let's get into Global Investment Voice. Mona, I know you are an avid snow skier, and today we're talking about Jay Peak, particularly the morning after. What's that all about?
You know, Mark, the word Jay Peak, or I should say the noun Jay Peak, has for some years, sadly, been synonymous with all things that could go wrong with an EB-5 project, from lack of oversight, fraud, greed. And in my opinion, Jay Peak was the defining catalyst behind Senators Leahy and Grassley's push for the reform of the EB-5 program since 2015, and quite frankly, resulting in what we had in 2022, the Reform and the Integrity Act of 2022, because one of the main focuses of that was all of the measures of oversight that are now put into place. So the Jay Peak Ski Resort, Mark, was really a first in many ways. It was the first big regional center projects. It was the first state-owned regional center. And it's one of the first ones where all of the state's politicians and officials had appeared one way or another at events, both domestic and overseas. And when in 2016, and I remember because we were at a IIUSA event when this whole incident was announced, the EB-5 world learned that the SEC had stepped in and taken over the project and had accused the developers, Bill Stinger and Ariel Kouros, perpetrating a massive fraud, misusing half the money they raised. I can tell you, the shock waves that the EB-5 industry felt were seismic. And I would say it's arguable to this day that the industry really hasn't really recovered, because every time there is an incident recorded about EB-5, the press want to rush in and talk about fraud. Now, I know there was fraud in this project, but the project actually started well, and the project did build and spent on the actual Jay Peak Resort. And the good thing is, at this point, our guest today is one of the developers of a company who have actually bought out Jay Peak and are funneling more money into Jay Peak. And what I really like to see is that, yes, unfortunately, there was greed, there was fraud, there was a problem. The investors are still facing problems to this day, and it's all very, very sad. But there has been a lot of positive to come out. And I hope that our interview today, Mark, with Doug Anderson, really comes and shows that Jay Peak really came out the other end.
Yeah, I believe you're right, Mona. With Doug Anderson and his team purchasing Jay Peak just a couple of years ago, back in 2022, we really are looking at the morning after and perhaps a turnaround from all the controversy. Doug, thank you for joining us on today's show.
Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to have you on the show, Doug. And, you know, we've been working together for so many years. I think it's been, we first started working together, I just was chatting with Rebecca earlier today, since it was 2011.
Yes, at least. Maybe a year or two before that.
Anyway, so Jay Peak, it sits at the northern end of Vermont. It's about 20 minutes from Canada, and it has one of the most heaviest snowfalls in the region. I do know that for years and years and years, well before the EB-5 programs ever started, it was basically an obscure hill known for deep powder and visited really primarily by locals, Canadians, and your hardcore enthusiasts. But it lacked proper snowmaking equipment, it lacked lifts, and it really required upgrades. The Jay Peak EB-5 program did bring a lot of attention to, obviously a lot of attention to Jay Peak, but it also brought that equipment and some of the upgrades that was required.
Yes, it did. It was resurrection for that resort and many other resorts that have participated in the program. But Jay Peak benefited a lot from bed base to sophisticated upgrades in snowmaking, lift equipment, and, you know, the number one thing in the ski business is snow. You do one thing and one thing only, and that's don't screw up snow. It's got to be number one.
Doug, I know you have great familiarity with ski resorts. And as part of the J Peak Pacific Group, you purchased J Peak back in 2022. And what have you done with the resort since then?
The period before our purchase was somewhat unknown, and there was a bit of a cloud hanging over the resort as to, you know, what happens next. What have we done with since we purchased it? We put all of the equipment back into service, fantastic staff and personnel, and we've had a great 22-23 season and 23-24 season as well. It's really becoming the resort it was meant to be.
I'm really glad to hear that. It basically has not gone back to what it was in the 90s, is what you're saying. It has taken that step forward.
It has taken that step forward. You know, with any large real estate project or investment project, it takes a while for the consumer to recognize those big changes. It doesn't happen overnight. And there's a lag period of several years, you know, two to three, four, 5 years sometimes. But all of the improvements that they did, they were first class, and the customer recognizes the quality, and it elevated the ski experience of JP Virtual.
And when you say you've had a really good run since 2022, and we've had good snow since then, so we've been sort of lucky in that respect here in the Northeast. Have you actually seen people coming in outside of the locals and some Canadians? Have you seen more international folk come in?
We are. The peak happens to be received more snow than, I believe, than any other resort in the Northeast. Most years it receives more than any of the resorts there. We're seeing people in from Canada. There's a large percentage coming in from Canada, above 40% some seasons. And we do see people coming in from Europe and some from Asia as well. So we're seeing an international group coming in and enjoying the facilities. 2022 and 23, that's a year ago, was a great snow year.
Yeah.
And a banner year for JP. This past year was a little touch and go at the beginning, but it ended up to be a good year with the culmination of the eclipse that JP Catholic will be right in the middle of. And that was a big event for the resort, a real fun event on Pope.
I have a question for you, which is something that we've discussed together for quite a few times. But when Congress approved the EB5 Reform and Integrity Act, which we call REIA, back in March of 2022, they put a separate set aside for rural projects. And quite honestly, we've seen a lot of EB5 ski resort type projects. Now, I know you're very familiar with this because you've successfully completed a ski resort project. But, you know, the argument is a ski resort not for the rich? And is this really the type of rural project that Congress had in mind?
I think it is. You have to look at the dynamics of that industry and geographically as well. It's a very expensive business to be in. The small resorts, the mom and pop resorts have a hard time competing. And so the EB5 program has been very beneficial to ski resort business in the resorts that it has participated in rural America. It creates those jobs, and it is very helpful.
Well, I mean, let me just say, though, rural Vermont is not alone in its struggle to create jobs. And there really isn't the population. You know, population density is an important factor when you generate any kind of economic prosperity. And there's plenty of remote areas that are at a disadvantage because you just don't have the personnel. I mean, for example, you know, you can take some of these metropolitan regions like New York. You have a virtuous cycle because the area just attracts educated workers, employers, and vice versa, which you just don't get up there. So, you know, are you getting even the people to fill in the places that you have?
That's a problem across America, and particularly in more remote areas. We've had to raise our minimum wage, if you will, for the resort between $18 and $23 an hour at all of our resorts. And it's hard for these people to make a living on anything less. And so EB5 allows the resort to modernize, replace 20 or 30 year old lifts, sophisticated snowmaking systems, lodge remodels, and that brings customers. That creates jobs. And so it's been hard to get people to come, but, you know, success breeds success. And Jay Peak, people love to come there. Workers love to come there. It's proven to be very good.
Yeah.
For the resort. Very good.
But let me ask you, though, as I know, you're going to say that, yes, ski resorts are great EB5 projects. But do you think following the whole Jay Peak fiasco, even though we have a successful resort behind it, that ski resorts are tainted? You know, I know some projects did pay back. I mean, Sugarbush, one of them, and several others. But do you think Jay Peak will ever see EB5 capital investments in the future, or do you think it's forever scarred?
No, I don't think it's forever scarred. You wouldn't condemn the entire banking business for having an investment bank that went awry and had some people in an investment bank that maybe didn't make some good choices. But there are good people at Jay Peak. There are good people in investment banking. No, ski resort business is, particularly Jay Peak, would still be a good investment for the EB5 projects, like any other business. It's how you run it. So I don't think it's tainted. I don't think the ski industry is tainted. We've only been there for 2 years now since that previous management and situation ended. And so it was a breath of fresh air, I think, to have us come in and with our team. No, I don't think there's permanent damage there. There's a place for EB5, particularly in rural America. Well, definitely a ski resort. Capital intensive industry.
Well, there are many EB5 projects actually in Vermont that I do know because we work with so many of them. So yeah, I mean, everybody in Vermont, it's funny when you do go up there and we often go up there skiing and people ask, what do you do? And the minute you say the word EB5, everybody in Vermont knows what you're talking about. So I do see that. But I just worry about whether or not it is going to really still attract investors.
Yes, Mona. I believe that Peak and other resorts would be continued to attract investment. They're typically well-run. It's rare that you have, and very rare that you have an instance that happened with a previous ownership. Just, you know, one or two individuals, really. There are good people. No, I don't think it's attracted.
Let me ask you, did Jay Peak Pacific also Burke Mountain?
No, we did not. That was not part of the package that we purchased. So that's still being operated, I believe, by the interim management.
The reason I asked, Doug, is because there are still I-526 petitions, believe it or not, still pending from Burke Mountain. And as we also know that there are still EB5 investors going through the system for Jay Peak. Is your team handling the EB5 investors at all? Are you working with the receiver?
No, that's being managed. We're not working on that at all. And the receiver is managing that. My understanding is that all the investors were made whole on Jay Peak or are being made whole. There are probably still some applications for the 8-9 that are still being processed. That would be my best guess. Sometimes that takes a little longer for approval funds and all of the things that an investor has to do. But no, we're not part of that. But they've created the jobs there. From all of the evidence I've seen, they did a fantastic job doing that. And by all indications, in working with the receiver, I'm told that all of the five investors are made whole on duty. So that's a big plus.
Yeah, for sure. No, I do believe that the first project of Jay Peak, there wasn't really issues so as much with that as later on. I know because Rebecca is handling some of the other investors who are in the later projects that they had. But may I ask you, what are your plans for Jay Peak? Because you obviously saw an economic and financial benefit by purchasing it.
I think the bigger picture is people are recreating more and they're looking for experiences with their families and they're looking for those unique experiences like Jay Peak. Where skiing is an expensive sport at times and it's very hard for families to do that, but it's still something that people can do with a family. And I believe that there are many opportunities for Jay Peak to continue to grow. It has increased visitorship.
It does get one of the heaviest snowfalls in the region. And I know it's known for the deep powder and glade skiing, which you don't get on the East Coast. We get that on the West Coast.
Yes, that's
Mona's
true.
Mona's a skier. You can tell by the term she's using. I don't know.
That's right. You know, in the ski industry, building the shoulder season and the summer season is kind of the name of the game right now. Most of the revenue and expenses are during the ski season. You've got 120 days to make your year. And with the cooperation of Mother Nature, Arma Snow, she's our partner, and most of the time she treats us well, sometimes not so much. But without good snow, people are not going for the great burgers or steaks or other things. They're going to ski, and that's why they go. So Jay Peak will increase visitorship and has spun back with a robust return to the market from what was under the receivership. And there are lots of opportunities to grow Jay Peak for sure. We're looking at how to augment the summer season and shoulder seasons like most ski resorts in America.
Yeah. Well, would you think it'll be as successful as some of your competitors? Because Stone Mountain is one of the biggest on the East Coast, and that's not too far away. I think 2 hours from Jay Peak. Not even that, less than 2 hours, maybe an hour.
Yeah, Jay Peak people are familiar with that area. There are some notable resorts, some more ski resorts in the Northeast than anywhere in the country. And Jay Peak is not the largest, but it provides one of the best experiences for skiers. As you said, it gets more snow, more powder. It's open for a very long season. It has all the summer activities, the water park, golf, ice hockey, all kinds of things. So it's a year-round presence.
Wait, ice hockey?
Yeah.
Oh, they have a local team?
Mostly traveling teams. Your mural sports with the kids that come in droves. There's not enough ice time in North America. Kids that play hockey, my son plays hockey, and they sometimes play in the wee hours of the morning or the night because they just don't have enough ice time. There are not enough arenas. But there are tournaments there, and the kids and their families come in droves, and it's a great experience. So we're glad they come up and see Jay Peak.
I've read a lot about the whole Jay Peak fiasco and about the Jay Peak area as well. And at one time, I believe that the mayor of Newport and the governor himself did believe that the whole area could be a magnet for tourists and really saw that it could be a real destination place. And obviously, with a company like yours purchasing Jay Peak, it is the step towards that destination place. Do you see that happening soon? Do you have visions for the future other than just creating a better ski resort?
You know, destination is a funny thing. Families have home ski resorts. My family has a ski resort. We taught the kids to ski, and they always come back to that and sort of their home or ski resort. So that's our destination. And so many people that come back to Jay Peak, it is their destination. It's about carrying capacity, and that is how many people can you comfortably carry on room nights, lift capacity, food and beverage, and do that well. Places like Deer Valley cut off ticket sales at a certain point. So ski mountains are small towns, and they reach a comfortable carrying capacity at some points. You really never want to go too far beyond that because it ruins the experience. And so we try to be the best we can be and maximize that experience, or it deteriorates. There are ski resorts in America right now that have expanded so rapidly, and there are huge lift lines. Can't find a place to park.
Yeah.
Wait an hour for lunch. And so growth is not the answer. It's the quality of the experience. You know, life is about creating memorable experiences. And so Jay Peak has some more carrying capacity. It provides a very high level of service and experience, but those things cap out after a while. You don't go beyond a certain point. You have room to grow, and many other resorts do. Some ski mountains will forever be a weekend ski mountain, and they won't be a four-season resort.
Yeah,
as much as they want to try to be, it's just not going to happen. But others have the potential to do that. And Jay Peak is one of them, with another few dozen ski resorts around the U.S.
We're very fortunate. The Jay Peak EB5 project always had the support of all of the local congressmen and all of the state officials. Do you find, even today, that you still have local support?
There seems to be a little bit of reticence, a little bit of carefulness with the local and state folks that are very careful about, you know, being involved in something that they didn't really have a lot of control over. And frankly, Jay Peak got a bad rap. It didn't need to. It was very recent decisions from a previous ownership group that could have been better choices.
You know, Doug, since 2020 and obviously since COVID, Americans have changed the way that they have recreation, and the cost of living going up, around the world and world problems generally, I feel more people want to stay at home. And staying at home, they're looking for areas to go.
Well, COVID changed a lot of our habits and patterns and really focused what's important to us, family, recreation, and the ability to experience some of the things that we prioritize our life. And COVID was a very focusing event for all of us. We can all point to changes. And as it relates to peak, despite the issues with EB5, it turned out fine. And it will be fine. And the rest of the resorts that have experience involvement, it too will be fine. But COVID was a good thing in many ways. It was a terrible thing in many ways. But I think it was really beneficial for all of us to set our priorities. And recreation is at the top of the list. People want to do aspirational things, make great memories on places like Jeep. There's none better.
Well, I started off by talking a little bit about the word J-Peak being synonymous with things that can go wrong. And I will say that despite all of that, I think there has been a lot of positive, not only, as you say, a company like yours purchasing J-Peak and taking it to the next level, but the very fact that J-Peak really was the defining factor for the reform of the EB5 program and all of the good reforms that we see today coming in and making the program a lot better, a lot more transparent, and hopefully eradicating all of the negative element.
I agree with that. You know, programs are not perfect. There's a lot of thought in the original program, and certainly improvements have helped and will continue to help. And it's not perfect, but it does work. It does work, and it's been a successful program around the country. And it's very diverse. And JP, despite all that, has worked out fine. So, no, I think EB5 has a place, and it was very helpful in the rural America, particularly in capital intensive kinds of businesses, like ski resorts, like entertainment, and hospitality. And it creates a lot of jobs.
Always. It creates a lot of jobs. Doug, thank you so much for coming on, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you all. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you for being with us today on Global Investment Voice. Do you want to get the most out of global migration and citizenship opportunities? Then head on over to our website at globalinvestmentvoice.com. From there, you can easily search and stream from hundreds of podcast episodes, as well as stay current with the latest migration news and investment opportunities by joining our insider newsletter. The topics presented in this podcast are informational in nature only and are not to be taken as specific legal, financial, or investment advice. Mona, Rebecca, and their legal staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com or by calling their New York office at 212-233-7473.